Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions with my guest, attorney Andres Lopez. And Andres, you were working with Hill & Barlow, a prestigious firm in Boston. And you know, what were some of the experiences, as you know, the war stories that you really thought you learned from and have been kind of important in, when you look back in terms of your development?
Yeah, the fascinating thing is that because, of course, Boston, despite the fact it's all the way there in Massachusetts, it's in the First Circuit, and Puerto Rico is also in the First Circuit. So
For the listeners, that means when you appeal from the Puerto Rico District, Federal District Court, the appeals court is the First Circuit, which sits in Boston.
Right, that's when they say, you know, they have to go to Boston appeal. That's what it means.
Right. So you were initially, the clerkship was with the District Court of Boston.
Correct.
And now you're with a law firm. So, you know, go ahead. I just wanted the listeners, because sometimes, you know, we're lawyers and we give lawyer talk and they're not quite sure where we're coming from.
You guide me, man. I'll do it. So basically, you know, I got there at a very interesting time because a lot of the cases that I ended up participating in at a very, you know, interesting level had some relation, bore some relation to Puerto Rico. For example, one of the first huge cases that I was involved with had to do with an appeal to the First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston and we were hired as appellate counsel, so to speak, so, you know, to try to reverse a jury verdict of about $150 million. This was in the mid-90s. You might recall there was a big class action having to do with Volvo cars and how they were labeled and all sorts of complicated.
Well, I remember that was handled in our law firm. Yes. Kind of all this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was, and you know, it was a hard fought case, and the jury made its decision and ruled against Volvo, and they came, and they hired the firm to try to undo that, and in the process of doing it, and, you know, happy to say we were able to do so.
Now, just for the listener, because what happened was that they were changing the model. Right, the model of the cars with a little decal or a little
right. Thing. So
and then that was the class action, which you know, you become an expert in class action. That's basically where it started, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
in class actions.
It was just because you know, I was the young guy, the low man on the totem pole, sure, in that case. So sure. I had to absorb everything. I mean, read every last page, and really became fascinated.
$150 million. Judgment. You pull out all the stops. As a lawyer, especially a young lawyer, you just go for it. You can put 18 hours a day. You know, everything. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. You leave no stone unturned.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that was yeah. And yeah. Like you said, you know, I was young, so it was just the moment to do it. And that case taught me a lot about the process one undertakes when really trying to prepare at the highest level and to excel as a lawyer. So it really helped me to, you know, as I said, cut my teeth as a lawyer. I was working with a guy that I respect a great deal named Gail Mahoney. Really the one of the models that I used even today.
And of course, you wouldn't bring this case up if you hadn't overturned the
exactly. That's it. But you know, sometimes you learn also, from cases for other reasons. Like another case that got a lot of mainstream attention here that we were involved with was that famous fight between then Governor Pedro Rosselló and the Nuevo Día.
And that was a famous fight,
and you know, whether it was ill-advised, I will leave for others, but you know, in the role of a lawyer, it was just incredibly fascinating. Got to meet on both sides, just tremendous people.
And again, it was at the appellate level.
No, actually that was at the trial level. But the case ended up, you know, it never got tried, so
okay.
it got settled out of court. But it was a very intense.
So your law firm was brought in as co-counsel with local law firm to on behalf of Nuevo Día or on behalf of Pedro Rosselló, the governor.
They hired Joe. The governor hired Joe. because he was a First Amendment expert, and that was
Joe
the case.
Was an attorney in Hillenburg.
Right, Joe. Yeah. Joe, my famous mentor.
Thank
yeah.
you. Yeah.
And you know, again, you know, he's a guy with just such a high level of. He puts himself a great deal of pressure to perform well, and you know, on the other side also just terrific lawyers, mm-hmm. And just you know, you're the young guy, you know, seeing all these pros perform at a very high level.
When you think of somebody like Joe, and you know, and you think of you know what stood out in terms of an attribute that he had that made the difference, besides of course, you know, being studious and getting along and putting together a team, but what. And anything specific that you recall that stands out? What would you say?
It's an incredible work ethic. I mean, the capacity. I mean, these were not, you know, it would have been easy, I would imagine, for any of them to just siphon off all the work on young people and just deal with, you know, the sexy stuff. But they really dug in there, got in there, and just became completely and intimately familiar with every single aspect.
They worked very hard. You know,
it taught me a lot about, you know, even if you're up here, you know, you have to be humble about the process, because if you don't know it, right, if you don't take the time to learn it, it doesn't really come to you by osmosis.
Yeah, it happens in all areas. People think that there are natural abilities, and they think, for example, that that Tiger Woods, you know, he was lucky. He's just, you know, genetically, he's, and it's absolutely not true. Tiger Woods is the hardest working golf professional there is, and he gets where he is because he works harder than anybody else. Nobody works as hard as Tiger, and even when he reaches a certain level. He goes and he re-engineers himself, you know, even if he's winning and is willing to lose for a while to get another level. It's just, and so, you know, I think what you're saying is so true in all areas of the, it's luck's a little bit, but it's just hard work, and, I mean, and that's what you, you know, I agree with you.
And you know, of course, you got to have the chops, and you got to be, you know, you got to have the ability, but at the end of the day, the biggest lesson I learned was the value of hard work and persistence. In being able to shape the destiny of a case, right? Because, you know, you whoever hires you, and, you know, the facts are the facts, and the law, of course, is the law, but you can do a lot with hard work. And so that I took from, you know, folks like Gail Mahoney and Joe Steinfeld and others, you know, at that front.
But there's also an ability sometimes to be able to distill what is a critical message that you want to get across and how to get that message across. And so that's a combination of hard work, having a good team, but then, you know, what is the message in the Volvo case, or in this, what is the critical message, and then to do it in a persuasive, a clear way. That's a toughie.
But my contention is, I mean, I agree with you entirely. My contention is that by working hard, right, outworking just about everybody else, you have such a better lay of the land that allows you, it gives you the confidence to be able to craft.
Consider all the alternatives, and then the alternative that you choose, you feel very confident about. And confidence is the first part of persuasion. If you're not confident of where you stand and what you have behind you to back up what you're going to be saying, you're not in good shape. From Hillenbarlow, you were there about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And you then decide to come to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, my wife had a pretty strong opinion on that. You know,
different opinions.
No, not really. I mean, yeah. I think you know, she's also born and raised in Puerto Rico. So one of the things that we were like, I'm sure so many, you know, young couples. You know, it's the value of what are you going to do for your kids. Versus, you know, do you forego that and try to go for a different career? And we had both had the benefit. We thought we were greatly enhanced and as people by it, of actually having our extended family with us as we were growing up. And it came the time when we had to ask ourselves the question of whether we wanted our kids to have that as well. And you know, when you have kids. You know, and have the background that we did, the question eventually answered itself. And so
you wanted to have your kids grow up with extended family and all that support and be part of the Puerto Rican culture that entails.
You know, which again was very important to us in the sense that we think it's a huge part of who we are. We're, you know, intensely proud of it. And so you know, the experiment in a sense was whether you could have, you know, the same level of success and challenge, you know, in a career, being here. And thankfully, by and large, in fact, I would contend that but for the fact that I decided, you know, to move here, I probably wouldn't have been able to do half the things I've ended up doing.
Let's discuss what you've been doing as a career, law career. So we'll take a break and be right back after this break. I'm with Andres, attorney Andres Lopez.